kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I am alive and kicking, Joe. How are you?
I'm a little bit hungry. Story time. We ordered pizza today from Pizza Hut. We had some reward points, and we cashed them all in and got ourselves a free medium pizza and an order of breadsticks. And Ashley went to go pick everything up, and she came home and she was like, "When did you change the order?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "They gave me 3 personal pan pizzas and an order of breadsticks. When did you change the order?" "I didn't change the order. Whose order do you have?"
Oh, no.
So we split the order of breadsticks, so we had 2 each, and then there was a plain cheese personal pan pizza, and we split that one, and that is how our dinner went. We are going to be getting a fresh pizza at 10 o'clock tonight, so God damn it, we're on a schedule for once.
We gotta get this shit done so you can have your pizza.
We are speed running for Pizza Hut tonight.
I'm a little jelly. I wouldn't be mad to have some Pizza Hut.
Well, you know what you are getting? You're getting new games joining Game Pass. How's that for a segue?
That was fantastic. Good job.
It's I know.
We've been doing this for 7 years.
Ruby
thought you were going to say that she brought back another cat. Not
no.
yet.
Jeez.
Not going to lie. You set it up. There was the wiggle room.
Yeah, there was. Oh my God, that'd be horrifying. Honey, guess what I found?
David tried to convince me to let him bring in another cat the other day. I was like, "No, we're good. We are good." He's like, "But it was a black cat." I was like, "We are good."
Oh my God.
Man, our house too damn small for that shit. We ain't Joe.
But yeah, Game Pass. 2 new games joined this week with Wolfenstein Youngblood and Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition.
Nice.
Yeah, you
Wait,
get all
the
DLC.
Royal Edition.
Yeah,
oh.
Royal Edition.
Suda is very excited about Final Fantasy. There's a running joke between him and I in that ever since the 360 days, he's bought every single Final Fantasy, and he's never got to play them. Because as soon as he comes online, I either send him an invite or he sends me one. And there's just no wiggle room. We always just play together.
Yeah.
And so he's never finished, like, any of the Final Fantasies. So when Final Fantasy 15 came out, he was like, "I'm not even buying it. Don't even tell me it exists. I don't want to know." And I'm like, "But it's in Game Pass. And it has co-op." And now he's like, "Oh!" And so I am certain that I am about to embark on this adventure.
Probably.
I'm trying to, like, delay it, though, for the sake of the joke. Because I don't want to let a 12-year-old joke die.
True.
But I also feel bad, and I feel like I kind of owe him one. But also, Zombie Army 4 just came out.
And stop rubbing it in.
I want to make his ass play Zombie Army 4 with me. I told him if he didn't have it by the time I got my taxes, I was just going to fucking buy it for him. Because he played Zombie Army Trilogy with me, but it wasn't his favorite thing in the world. Like, he liked it, but it was like, "Oh, that's fine. I can play it or not, you know?" But I was like, "I don't fucking care. Zombie Army 4, your ass is in here. I've been waiting all year for this. Let's go."
I'm sad. That's one of the games we didn't get to cover this year, so unfortunately...
Yeah.
We won't have a review of that one, at least for the foreseeable future. Maybe things will change, but probably not. Sad face.
I'm holding out hope. I have hope.
But there's a happy face because on February 13th, Death Squared is coming to Game Pass.
Yes, I think I have that, and I have never even played it.
It's good. It's tough.
Yeah. It's like funny. I've heard good things about it. I can't remember if I got it or if I just wanted it, but I remember the game itself. It's probably somewhere in that hellscape that is my backlog.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's not all good news, though, because a couple of games are leaving Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Five games have shown up in the leaving soon section, so you probably have until the middle of the month to play these. Couple of big ones, though, with Shadow of the Tomb Raider going.
Yeah.
Pumped BMX Pro.
Yeah.
Jackbox Party Pack 2.
Yeah. Oh, I need to, like, finish the completion on that because it's easy to cheese it.
Rage on the 360 and Epic Mickey 2 on the 360.
I meant to tell the kids to play Epic Mickey 2. They've got a couple days left of their extended middle of February plague vacation. So I may have to remind them that they need to get in their Epic Mickey time before it goes away.
Yeah, they got to hurry up.
Yeah. It's hard to get them to want to play anything other than Pokemon right now.
You're welcome.
Although, I am proud of number one, because she finished Devil May Cry 5, and she started it off on Demon Hunter difficulty.
Wow.
And she beat it with no assist. No combo assist.
Damn.
So she, and it was her first Devil May Cry. She blew through it. I was so proud of her.
Like mother, like daughter.
Yeah, basically. Only I was a bitch. I started on human mode. Because I know, like, you get to carry your shit over to Demon Hunter. She went in empty-handed.
Damn.
She's got that childlike resilience that I don't have in my old age.
Oh, man. Let's see. What other news is there? Madden 20 is now in the EA Access Vault.
Okay.
So there's that.
That was pretty quick.
That's the end of the football season, so it's about time.
That's true.
Three new games are joining PlayStation Now for February with The Evil Within, City Skylines, and then Lego Worlds through August 4th.
Okay.
So it looks like two permanent editions in Lego Worlds, which is just temporary for a few months.
Yeah. Interesting.
Their lineups have gotten weak, though, like three games a month. They used to add a whole lot more.
I'm telling you, I know that everybody says it's because I'm pro Xbox anyway, but man, Game Pass just shits all over everything else.
It does. You want to know what shits on Xbox? Platinum Games shits on Xbox because the wonderful 101 is getting remastered via Kickstarter. The game was planned for the Switch and already met stretch goals for Steam and PS4. But no Xbox version.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
There was a news article the other day about Platinum saying that they wanted to finish Scalebound.
Yeah.
And I kind of half expected them to just flat out throw Xbox under the bus on it and be like, no, Microsoft just didn't let us finish it. But they did actually admit that, like, they weren't meeting some of their goals on their end, too.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to read that. But I'm not gonna lie. A little part of me really hopes that, like, one of the pickup studios at Microsoft just goes, you know, we can finish Scalebound.
That'd be cool.
I really want Scalebound to come out.
I know. I was looking forward to that so much.
I never forgave them for taking it away from me. It was like Devil May Cry, but with dragons.
Yeah.
I was here for it. You know.
Speaking of things going away, there's some departures to talk about. Rockstar Games co-founder Dan Houser is leaving the company with his tenure set to end March 11th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always find it so weird when people leave companies they started.
I know.
Like, that's your baby. You're just throwing it out to the wolves and be like, well.
Peace, bitch.
Good luck to you. Left that bitch at the fire station's what I did.
Man, he was usually really involved with the writing of all the games, so it's gonna be weird role. To see him without one of the founders.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Rod Ferguson is leaving the Coalition.
That surprised the shit out of me too.
Yeah, he'd worked on the Gears franchise for 15 years.
Yeah.
And he is leaving in March to join Blizzard to oversee the Diablo franchise.
Blizzard must be like throwing out some big money to scoop up Rod Ferguson and Mike Ybarra in the last few months. Like, that ain't been cheap.
Activision just really hates Xbox right now. They're hiring away everybody.
Poaching left and right. Yeah.
Fucking them over on DLC and exclusive agreements and shit like that.
Damn.
Oh, man. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid now has full cross-platform play with the PS4 finally joining Switch, Xbox, and PC players. So that's good news.
I didn't even know that was a game.
Yeah, it's on Xbox, Switch, PS4, PC, and now it's cross-play on everything. Hooray!
Nice. I am fully supportive of cross-play.
I know. So am I. It's so good.
Yes.
Activision confirmed that a new Call of Duty is on the way for 2020, shocking the world with this revelation.
Didn't see it coming.
I know. I just,
they're so
blows
scared.
Blows my mind.
We just don't get enough Call of Duties. We're just left to grind the old one over and over and over and over and never ever play a new one.
Well, I guess as long as they continue to sell out the asshole, they will continue to release them out the asshole.
I will probably continue to play them out the asshole. It's fine.
Speaking of things selling really well, Red Dead 2 has sold over 29 million units worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. So that done did good.
Done did good. Okay.
And then also doing pretty well, The Outer Worlds is now up to 2 million units worldwide.
That's awesome, too.
Yeah. Good stuff. And then last bit of news I have is that Ninja Theory confirmed that Bleeding Edge will not feature any microtransactions. They were quick to add in at launch.
Yeah.
hopefully it stays that way and it's not just for, the 3-month launch window. We're not going to have microtransactions. But after that, here they are, fuckers.
Yeah, they could pull an Activision and be like, oh, it's not going to have microtransactions at launch, and then they add them in a week after the review period's over.
Yeah.
once all the 9 out of 10s is out there, then it's fine to throw them in.
Yeah.
Oh, Rootbeer says Florence is coming to Switch. I really want to play that.
Well, we'll have to look into it.
Yes. I would actually steal the Switch to play Florence.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's the news I have. Anything you want to talk about, or should we just dive into reviews and speedrun this thing?
Let's just speedrun this motherfucker. There's pizza on the line.
There is pizza on the line.
You owe me a pizza for this.
Who delivers in your area?
Fucking nobody.
Well, then you're kind of fucked on that one.
I know it. You know what the sweet thing was? Is one time I made a joke that number one had a bunch of friends over one weekend, like, if anybody is aware of how number one does her birthday parties, like, there are a dozen teenagers that just descend on my house for an entire 4 to 5 day weekend. And they just come and go as they please. We have an open door policy. I don't care. You need to go home, we'll take you home. You want to come back, we'll come get you. Just have a party. Have fun. And one time I was like on day 3 or 4 and there was still more time to go. And I was just exhausted. I posted on Twitter. I was like, or Facebook, and I was like, still full of house full of girls, please send pizza, just as a joke. And people from my Facebook were actively trying to find pizza places that would deliver to me. And I was like, I could have told y'all that wasn't gonna happen. That was why the joke was there. But thank you for being nice enough to want to do it. They had like pulled money together and we're gonna just send a big old pizza to the house.
That's I was awesome. Like,
aw, that is awesome. It was funny. Anyway. Next. Why would I do that? It sounds like it is hell, but it makes for a happy teenager. That's one of those things that I have to have consensus with. Like, I'm antisocial as fuck, but number one is a super social butterfly, and she's super popular and has a ton of friends. And I'm just like, one time a year. Suck it up. Sometimes twice, because sometimes I let it happen in the summer. They come over. But when it's in the summer, like, we put a tent in the yard and be like, here's the pool. Here's a fire pit. Here's a grill. Have fun. Don't burn a place down. What fireworks? We got those too. See you later. Oh, God. You got to let them make some memories.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kids got to be kids.
Yeah.
I miss being a
kid. Anyway. I do too. Well, I don't know. My childhood was kind of shit. It wasn't bad. It was just very dull.
So was mine, but now I'm smarter and I would know what to do over.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Yeah. Like, I think I would have been like more picky about what I asked for Christmas if I knew the other options then that I know now. Like, I've been shopping for my kids a zip line. And like, that's cool as fuck. I didn't even know that was a thing you could just have in your yard.
I'm just happy to have a fucking koi pond. That's exciting for me. Oh, man. Anyway, should we dive into reviews?
Yes, let's do this.
All right. First game to talk about this week is called Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 3 developed and published by Milestone. Released February 14th on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $59.99. A special edition with the season pass and credits multipliers available for $79.99. And the special edition is available now. Relive the 2019 season and join the official teams in the career mode. Have fun with the new multiplayer experience and its various new modes. Enjoy the new compound online with friends and unleash your creativity with the limitless track editor. Cole, I've covered this one in the past and we finally got you on board to check this one out. What'd you think of it?
Oh boy. So I'm going to be super honest right out of the gate. Okay. I mean, I'm always honest with reviews, but I'm just going to go ahead and like chop the head off the snake here. I didn't have a lot of hope for how this game was going to look based on the character creation model. I want to verify there were a ton of options for character creation and I was super excited. Fuck, they even give you an achievement just for creating a female character.
Really?
And I was like, yes, it's called girl power and everything. I was like, I love you.
Nice.
This is good. It was brilliant. But the character models themselves, their faces are a little rough around the edges, okay? They're not pretty. And so I thought, oh man, I don't remember what the other game I reviewed not too long ago was, but like I was super disappointed at how not pretty things were because in screenshots they looked a lot better. And so as soon as I saw that character customization and them faces, I was just like, oh boy, here we go. I've signed up for it again. I'm in trouble. It's kind of funny that so much effort is put into the character customization, because in the rest of the game, you're just playing and you're on a dirt bike and you're staring at their back anyway and you can't see any of the face. And then it's suddenly it's all fine because the actual tracks are super, I mean, they're mud tracks. They're dirt tracks. They're not pretty, but they're pretty in like the...
In what they're supposed to be pretty in that way.
They look... super realistic. I mean, from mud puddles to the barricades and just, it was even the arenas that just had you locked down into a small track on an arena looked super well done. And I was really impressed by that. I don't know how they went so far out of the gates on the faces, only to turn around and have such pretty environments, but they did a really good job there.
Well, they focused on the environments and not the faces.
I mean, you can't see that shit when you're racing anyway, but yeah, it does. Exactly. When that's your first introduction to the game, you're like, oh, what have I done? Oh boy. So I was glad to see that first impressions were wrong. Look in there.
And it is a good looking game.
It is. It's very nice looking. I will say tutorial mode kind of throws you in head first. If you are not already familiar with how to play a dirt bike racing game, you're fucked. Because tutorial mode basically tells you how to leave the line. And then it just gives you like the icons on the side of the screen. Like, oh, to move left, hit this button or the joystick to the thumbstick to the left or the thumbstick to the right. And it's like, okay, but why would I want to do that? And it never gives you any explanation of the physics of like when you need I don't even know the proper terms because it doesn't tell it to me.
Just like lean forward and lean back.
Yeah, when you need to lean into a curve or when you need to lean into a jump. If you can pull off the jumps to where you're keeping your momentum up, that's when you feel like the biggest badass ever on a dirt bike. But I couldn't do it because the game didn't explain to me how.
No, I've noticed this game was very much geared towards people who've played these games before.
Yeah.
It wasn't very approachable for newer gamers, I've noticed.
It was like, pull the trigger and go, and good luck. You can do this, you can do that. We won't tell you why you want to or when, but there it is. So, I mean, and that even carries over into, like, the settings menu, because there's simple mode, and then there's realism mode. And there is absolutely no in between. Like, you're either a doofus who doesn't know how to push the buttons, or you know how to push every button perfectly. Granted, I'm a doofus, but I at least knew how to hold the trigger. It was the in-between that needed a little more help. So it has this super steep learning curve. Like, you need to already have some kind of knowledge of what the fuck you're doing on a dirt bike, yeah. Or you're just going to be really confused. That said, we played some of the not tutorial, but the free roam mode.
Yeah, the compound online. We checked that mode out together.
There were some issues with it, but there are some really cool things about it too. First off, it's fucking huge.
I was so impressed
at what a large map they had created with all these different tracks and all these different situations around the mines, and there were tunnels, and there's a mini map. But you can't, why is my computer randomly popping? I was like, why did that achievement pop? What is going on here? I'm not even doing anything. I was so confused for a second. I don't know. My computer just started randomly popping achievements. Nice. But, there's a mini map, but it doesn't have enough detail on it that you can really see where you are. And you can't blow it up to a full size map. So you can never really quite tell where your friends are. You can never really quite tell where you are. And if you do like I did, and you find yourself way too close to the outer bounds, you can go past it, and then, like, it force respawns you, looking back inward toward the map. And for some dumbass reason, like, as soon as I would respawn on that edge of that map, I'd pull the trigger to go in the direction it would have me pointed, and then it would just tell me I was out of bounds again. And I sat in, like, a 5-minute loop. Just over and over. I'm like, Joe, I can't get out of here. And then I just magically pulled the trigger and managed to leave the out of bound area.
You were probably backed into a corner or something. That was hilarious.
I have no idea what I did, but I was so stressed out and I was so mad by the time it was done. I don't know how I managed to do it, but I was constantly like out of bounds, respawn, pointed in a direction, pull the trigger, out of bounds, respawn, over, over. It was like Groundhog Day, but on a dirt bike and in hell.
Oh, God.
pretty hell, but hell. The map situation could really stand to have a little bit of work done to it. It would be nice to have a larger map so that you could actually see where you are and where things are that you want to be going to. Some kind of, like, you know, call out system, like, oh, hey, I'm at track A in this quadrant or whatever. Break it all down, you know, put a grid on it and make it a little easier to navigate. The other thing that was a bit of a hitch for us is that we thought that there were going to be events in the free roam area. Yeah,
we couldn't find anything to actually do.
There were jumps and there were tracks, but there wasn't any reason to actually go at them other than to just because we were shitting around. We were racking up points. We don't know why.
Well, it was from doing jumps and
But it didn't have a purpose other than to say, hey, I have more points than you. Yeah. Like, so there wasn't any kind of goal for those points. There wasn't any kind of reward for them. They just were. They didn't even affect your prestige level outside of the free roam. So there was no multiplayer level up. What you got didn't affect your single player level up either. Which, I mean, it's fine. It's a neat idea to have this just big ass playground to turn loose in with your friends. But it would also be nice if there were some kind of events that you could trigger, if you could set up set it up so that kind of Forza style, like you go up to an event and then you can just activate it and your friends get to join you and do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like to, if there was like a post you could ride up to and then set up some options for a race and then your friends that want to join you on it could do it. That would be really cool. But it was, otherwise it was just barren and there wasn't really anything there.
Yeah.
Besides just looking cool. So yeah, that was the downside there. But
I have another downside I want to bring up. It's not necessarily related to the compound, but the online play. I tried playing some online earlier today, and not only did I run into a number of errors when trying to join matches that would just kick me back to the main menu, but when you would go to load the lobby list, it would take multiple minutes for the lobby list to load.
Yeah.
Like I was timing it where it would take over 2 minutes for the lobby list to actually load up. And when you're just loading up, like that's not loading the game. That's not loading the track. That's not loading the other AI riders or the other players. That's just loading the list of rooms that are available. Two minutes. That's insane.
And then another thing that we had was in multiplayer, even when we were in a party, or at one point I didn't even have my headphones plugged in. And it was showing us broadcasting as talking.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And even though Joe wasn't saying anything and I didn't have my headphones plugged in, but it was still, and then we joined a party together.
And it was still showing flashing. That we were talking in game. And it was like that when I played online in races as well. It just showed everybody was continually just like breathing into the mic or something.
Yeah.
But no nobody's one was
actually
saying anything.
So there are certainly some multiplayer quirks that need to be worked out. I think for the single player, they pretty much got it locked down. I mean, this is the third one of these that they've done, and they've got the single player functions, you know? And it functions as it should. It's pretty. It's enjoyable if that kind of game is your style. Other than, you know, that steep learning curve, single player rolls. It's fine. It's great. But multiplayer definitely needs some polish and smoothing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So overall, $60 on this one. By the way, it came out on the 4th, not the 14th. A one snuck into my notes and I had to correct it. It's out February 4th. So it is out now. It is available now. $60 on it. What do you think?
I'm going to give it a try. I think it's pretty enough, but I think that learning curve is so steep that if you're not already into dirt bike racing games, that you're almost kind of locked out of it.
Yeah. So. I agree with you. I honestly feel like this one's kind of a step down from last year. I enjoyed last year quite a bit more, but it's not as good as last year. It's still pretty. It's still fun to play, but you know, I don't know. It feels like there's better options available and there's better options from Milestone available than this year's Supercross game.
Yeah.
And the physics are just weird.
And there are physics options, but it's also weird that it didn't make any difference to me. But the ragdolls are funny.
I'm talking like when you go off a jump into a crowd of riders and you're just pinballing off the top of riders.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's just,
you did say that.
The physics just get weird in groups and, you know, you'll see a rider go half sideways and then back normally straight. It just feels like a step down.
Maybe stick with Supercross too.
Yeah.
Unless you absolutely need to upgrade.
Yeah. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Classic Snake Adventures, developed and published by Crazy Soft. It released February 5th on Xbox One for $8.99. A 4K reboot of the classic retro game Snake, introduced in 1997. Nibble your way through 100 amazing rounds in 5 worlds with 20 different bosses. Cole, I know you mastered this one. Tell us about it.
I did. This Classic Snake Adventure is super easy to complete, super easy to play. There's a hitch to it, but I'll get to that in a second. If you're playing it as is, and you're just like, you really need to play a snake game in 4K in 2020, you're probably going to be pretty satisfied. It's cut and dry. The levels are simple. Some of them do get a little unruly in like how sharp the turns are. And I will say that I don't always feel like the snake is responsive enough to justify some of those turns. As it is, some of the later levels can get pretty rough because of that. And even though it says there are, what did it say, 20 bosses? Mm-hmm. Was it 20? Yeah, every 10 levels there's a boss. 5? Something like that. 10, sorry. I had to, like, visualize it in my head because it was such a simple game I didn't make notes. But I was, like, I was just, like, visualizing it. But, yeah, every 10 levels there's a boss. Even though there are 20 bosses, it's all the same premise. They're all the same type of fight. They don't mix it up in any other way but how they look. So the way that the boss battles play out is that there are lightning strikes instead of fruit for you to consume. And you'll need to, you know, snake around the map. There will be an area that is locked off that the boss is contained within. So, like, it doesn't chase you around or anything. You just got a more limited shape to work around in. And the boss's attacks is that it will make random blocks show up in your area. And you just need to avoid them. You have 3 lives for every level, though you can get extra lives. Sometimes extra hearts will pop up and you can snack on those. Kind of grimy. When you say it like that.
Eat the hearts of the young to survive.
Ah. They could have just, like, I don't know, at that point they should have just made it an egg. Shit. That'd be something a snake actually eats. But now I got that mental image.
Proud of you.
You can get extra hearts. So if you are taking a beating, you can just wait, you know, try to bide your time and get an extra heart. You do have a timer, and collecting fruit will add a little extra time to that timer. Although I did have a weird glitch in later levels. It didn't happen in the beginning. It was somewhere around the 4th world I noticed it started to happen. Where I would, there's clocks that pop up and you can eat the clock and get a little extra time. But for me, I would eat the clock. It would set my timer back up to like 35 seconds, which should have been more than enough time. Except for the moment I would eat a piece of fruit, it would shoot back down like I had never ate the clock and I would have like 4 seconds left. And I was like, okay, well, that's panic inducing.
Yeah, I actually ran into that on an earlier level. So it is there on levels. Yeah.
Maybe I was just like not noticing because I was going so well that I didn't care about the time. But as I got to the later levels, I was like, oh, that's a problem. Yeah. But it does do that. There is also another glitch, although this one works in player's favor. Because if you go to smack into something, literally anything at all, then you press Y or B to bring up the option to restart the level or go to the menu. But you don't click OK if you click to back out of that. The game glitches and you become invincible.
Yeah, you can go through walls. You can go through anything.
Everything. Those bosses. Nothing hurts you. Doesn't fucking matter anymore. However, if you do take the glitch method, just be warned that you still can't go out of the bounds of the level, because if you hit the exterior walls of the level, it will secondhand glitch. And you lose control of the snake and it constantly moves backward.
So there's a couple of hitches with the game.
It's the most gloriously awful thing ever. The first time I did it on purpose just to see what would happen. And I was just watching it like, I don't want to stop it. It's so miraculous. It's just watching it flail around backward. So, you know, you can glitch it to your benefit, but you can also glitch it just for the fun of watching it fuck up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any hope ever of that being patched, by the way, because it does the same thing on PlayStation. It's been out on there forever.
Yeah.
So,
but who knows? Maybe this new attention to the game, they'll be like, oh yeah, that was a problem. We should fix that. Or maybe they'll think, hey, it helps players. It gets more people interested in the game because it translates to easy achievements.
Yeah. And even still, like, I didn't fail any levels, but there's still a time constraint involved. Like, it's still time consuming to get the completion.
Yeah.
You're going to need to carve out a couple hours to do it.
Yeah. Well, as it stands for $9, what do you think of it?
I think there's enough there to justify the $9 price tag. Glitch and all. it's amusing and it does make it an easy completion. So, like, if it were something great, I guess in a way it is game breaking, but not to a negative extent. So, I don't mind glitches that are for the player so much as I do ones that just make it completely impossible to play. I think I can give it a pretty recommended try. It's hard to be like, oh yeah, you should buy it. It's broken. you can play it without breaking it, but also you could probably break it on accident too. Yeah. And if you're not trying to play that way, that can get frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny. Clearly.
And you were number one on the leaderboard for a while until it released.
Am I not anymore?
Last I saw, you were number 20.
Fuck faces. No, I think it was a lot of fun. I was number one on the leaderboard. I beat Carnage. Carnage can get fucked. I beat Bills. He can get fucked. so I had a good time with it. It's broken, but it's amusing. So I can't be like, yeah, buy it, because it is broken. But,
yeah.
You know, I think if you're looking for some quick, easy, achievements and you want to get a good giggle out of it, it's good for that.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Outbreak Epidemic, developed and published by Dead Drop Studios. This one's coming out February 12th on Xbox One for $9.99. The infection goes nationwide, an outbreak epidemic, an action-focused survival horror adventure. Cole, you've been a fan of the Outbreak series, and they've been a fan of you.
I do enjoy the Outbreak series. I want to be entirely honest, too. The first Outbreak was not my shit. there were a lot of issues, and I was really hard on it in that review. And the developer ever since then has been absolutely fantastic. He takes the advice that we've dished out, for better or for worse, and has always taken it into consideration in future games. And there has been a lot of improvement to the Outbreak series. One thing that is important to point out is that the Outbreak games are meant to be reminiscent of the old school Resident Evil style games. They're not meant to be, on the level of something like Zombie Army as far as like hordes and stuff go.
Yeah.
So they're easier to play in that even if you're not particularly good at survival horror, it's a good, like, dip your toe in kind of series, because you're not going to get overwhelmed with zombies. Even if you're playing on the harder difficulty where you have to headshot them in order to get through, you can still just, go into it and be like, I don't know if I'm good at zombie games. I don't know if I can handle a zombie game. Let me try this one. That's a good starting point.
Yeah.
And I love them for that. I think there's not enough. Like, at this point, we everybody knows how to play a zombie game. But there are people that don't, and there are people who get overwhelmed when they're getting rushed by insane hordes. And so it's nice to have a survival horror that's a little slower. Goes a little easier on you unless you take your time and look around and not suffer for it. The puzzles are pretty simple, and you can always just like find the solution in the world. That's one of the greatest things about Outbreak to me. because a lot of survival horror, like try to go out of the way to hide your puzzle solutions to the point that you like you're spending hours and constantly fighting the same zombies over and over just to find a four number password. And Outbreak is like, no, it's over there. Go find it. I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, it simplifies the process and makes it a lot more enjoyable than some of the other mm-hmm. games that try to pay homage to the,
right.
the and, 90s and, Resident Evils.
But the plus side is that they've found a happy medium with Outbreak where if you want to set the options to those more, you know, old school mechanics, they're there. They've left them in, even in Epidemic. But if you are like me and you want the more modernized controls or you want to play with a class that allows you to have a bigger inventory, this is always my biggest bitch about these games is the inventory. There are plenty of characters and available and different classes that you can pick through and set it up in a way that you get to play with the types of weapons that you enjoy the most and you get to play. You know, you get to have the kind of setting. If you like the challenge of a smaller inventory, some of the characters don't have big inventories. Some of the characters have bigger inventories. You can pick and play the way that suits you.
Except in one aspect, and this is one of my big gripes with the game, there is no invert camera option.
It's 2020, Joe. Learn to exactly. play without inverting your camera.
Exactly. It's 2020. That option should be in every game. I need to invert my controls.
Not an accessibility feature.
Yes, it is.
It might actually be, though, now that I said that. It probably is. I can imagine there's probably somebody that needs it. I mean, I'm the one. I always bitch about sensitivity, so that's my hitch. I always need my sensitivity cranked to, like, as high as it will go.
Thankfully I have an Elite, so I was able to just hit a button and boom, I have inverted controls, but.
Okay, then there should be inverted controls.
God damn
just
right
so I don't have to hear Joe be mad. but I am super happy to see that Outbreak Epidemic is just another step that improves on the Outbreak series and they get better every time. And it's always nice to see that there's several different difficulties. It can be as hard as you want. It could be as easy as you want. You can play in the campaign. You can play in the horde mode. If you just want to play Onslaught and you don't give a fuck about actually getting through the story, you can just go read the story. This is one of my favorite things about Outbreak. It has, even since the first one, the whole story, all the characters. If you haven't played any of the others, if you don't know what the fuck is going on, it's all summarized for you. It's all right there. You can just go read it. And I really recommend it. Even if you don't want to play the story, at least read the story because the time and the dedication that is put into Outbreak story is so impressive. It's such a really cool story and world building. The characters are really cool. And I actually give a fuck about them and I'm glad to get to find out more about what's going on in their world.
Nice. So overall, $10 on Outbreak Epidemic. What are you thinking?
I give it a buy it. I'm always so glad it just gets better. I'm telling you, there have been some where I've been like, I have to give this a deny. And then it just crickets and you never hear from the dev again. And then you're like, did I ruin their career? I'm sorry. But at least in this case, it's like I was hard on them and I told them to deny it. And then they took it seriously and they were like, let's fix this shit. And the games just get better.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did.
All right, well, we got to get Dark Mika in here to join us for this next review, so let us call her up and see if we could get her involved.
Hello.
There she is.
Aki!
Aki, how are you doing?
I'm not dead, so there's that.
Aki, we have to speed run. There's pizza in the wings.
There's pizza involved in this one. So first off, you got to get either closer to the mic or bump your volume up a bit. You're a little low.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep. Much better.
Okay. Do I get pizza?
I mean, if you want to come over, sure.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit of a trek considering I'm in Nevada right now, so.
Excuses. There's pizza on the line, goddammit. All it takes is a trip to Pennsylvania. Oh, man. All right. Well, final game to talk about tonight is called Seventh Sector, developed by Sergi Noskov, published by Sometimes You, released February 5th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. Welcome to the Seventh Sector, set in a mysterious cyberpunk world. Immerse yourself on this intricate path, solving different puzzles, facing its dangers, and collecting scattered information to discover the story of the world. Which one of you wants to start?
Don't everybody speak up at once. I got this. First off, thanks for pronouncing the developer's name properly. I've seen so many people write it backwards, and I feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah, I was just going to call him the Russian guy. So,
second off, this is not what I expected when you said sometimes you. I have a sordid history with Sometimes You, and I either really love what they put out or I have some really big problems with it.
I don't think I've ever played a game of theirs that I don't like, so.
Nah, it's not the game necessarily that was the problem so much as the marketing choices. We'll leave that in the past. So Seventh Sector is a unique on-the-rails puzzle game where you play as an electric spark and you're journeying through this cyberpunk dystopia via electric devices and wiring. I don't want to get too far into spoiler territory, but they're like...
Nothing's powered, by the way, so...
Well...
All the electric lines are literally cut, so...
Yeah, so you have to... Like, it's... You power them in some extent at certain situations, though. Like,
I'm
you
will
go into
that you're an electrical pulse, even.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, I'm not trying to give spoilers, so that's a good way to describe what it looks like.
God damn it! Fuck it! What's the ending of the story? I'm going to tell you the ending. Eris dies.
Like an electrical spark. I'm still not sure.
Yeah, it's a pretty unruly story. And one thing that I definitely want to point out is that there are certainly some content warnings involved. I don't necessarily want to, like I said, fall into spoiler territory, but, you know, if content including suicide, that's not a spoiler, that's early in the game. But if content involving suicide and even just seeing that kind of imagery bothers you, that's something you need to take into consideration before you play Seventh Sector.
Yeah, especially because it only has a T rating, so younger audiences could stumble upon this one.
I don't know if like whoever rated it just completely missed what was going on in that scene. But
that's not the only scene either.
I know. So. I'm trying not to spoil, Aki.
Hey, we haven't specified anything about the scenes. We're not spoiling nothing.
I try to limit myself to only talking about like the first quarter of a game so that I don't give away anything good. Aki's well, just like, let me tell you what happens in the epilogue.
Well, there's four of them, so which one? I've gotten them all.
There are multiple endings. That is another interesting thing. There are different ways to solve the puzzles and approach the game. God damn, Aki, just setting up all the spoilers. Fuck. Making my job harder.
You're welcome.
But yeah, it is an on-the-rails puzzle game. If you've ever played Turn On, the way that you travel through the wires reminds me of Turn On.
Everything about the game reminded me of that.
But, like, gritty and not cartoony.
It's a cyberpunk dystopian.
I mean... You could argue that the world in Turn On was kind of dystopic.
Well, I mean, you were visiting a lot of dead areas, but that's because you were in a go-nowhere town, I think. Whereas this place is actually a dystopian future, so.
Yeah. And also, that does bring me into something before I forget about it, too. Not all of the dialogue, there's no dialogue, but like all the text in the game, there's a lot of it that's still Russian.
Wait, there's any of it that's in English?
Yeah, there's some in the backgrounds on like signs and stuff. But
I only ever noticed Russian and Chinese.
No, there is. See, back there it said Radio City in the one scene. Yeah, there is some English, but there is a lot more that is Russian and, well.
Yeah, it kind of makes me sad because they're like, oh, you learn about the, you know, story of the game, but I you assume where you learn of all of it is through those little emails that you either are sending or going through or
yeah.
something, and they're all in Russian, yeah. and there's no translation. I was like, oh, I really want to know what these say.
That makes solving some of the earlier puzzles, too, really stressful. There was one where you had to activate a speaker, and the speaker is, like, speaking in Russian, and I was like,
Was there a language setting that maybe you had on wrong?
No. No language settings no. at all.
Although, gratefully, like, if you wait, then after it does the dialogue part, then it flashes and, like, gives you the number in black light. So, I was looking up, and, yeah, the number originally is just supposed to be the dialogue. And I was like, oh. Glad they decided to add that in.
Yeah.
Because we would have been fucked. I would have been like, I did one puzzle, and that's all I could do because I can't speak Russian.
Yeah, because that's not all of the puzzles change between your playthroughs, but that one does. That's one of the few that does.
Yeah, that was hard to realize, too, because I got so stressed about it that I actually went and looked up a guide. And then, like, I was like, going through all the guides, I was like, ah, fuck, the numbers are all different. And then finally I realized if I hung around long enough, the numbers just showed up on the screen. I was like, whew.
Oh, Jesus.
We're good. We're in there.
Well, I guess what else did you have?
It's really good looking game. Not what I'm expecting when you tell me sometimes you. But for a 3D-ish kind of world, even though it's on the rails, it was very, very pretty, and dystopian though it may be. It just looked really good, and it all worked very well. Can be a little difficult at times. I think some of the solutions to some of the puzzles are a little, obsolete, and you're just kind of like, I don't know that I'm ever going to figure this out without help. I think at one point I didn't see it. I know there was one where you messaged me and I didn't see it for like 2 days because I don't check messages ever.
Yeah, it took me an hour to figure out that puzzle.
And I was like, by the time I found it, I was like, oh, I'm sure she's got past it by now.
Oh yeah, my God, I 100%ed it yesterday. So,
so I was like, you know, sometimes it's that the solution may not always be clear. You just have to fumble around for a little while. But beyond that, I think it was a really enjoyable game. It is dark content, though, and it was something like I started to play it while the kids have been home all week. And I was like, oh, I'll just play this during the day because it's something I can just meander through as a puzzler. And then, like, I got to some of the scenes, and I was like, I have made a mistake.
Most of the game isn't too bad. There are a couple.
Yeah.
A couple sections. But most of the games, it is pretty tame.
Yeah. But I was surprised it got that T rating. But I don't know. I guess certain content is more acceptable now than it was when I was. Now I sound like a boomer.
when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at how much they said shit in Need for Speed, and that got a T rating.
That was true. That was another thing. They said shit a lot.
What's Call of Duty's rating?
Yeah.
That's T. Oh, it's I thought that was T. Okay.
No, that hasn't been T in a long time.
You blow the fuck up out of everybody in that game. Yeah. It's M.
But,
like, guts and gore everywhere.
I have to add is getting the achievements in this game is easy as long as you get the first two endings first.
Yeah.
If you get the last two first, like I did, you have to replay the game from the very beginning, a brand new save file.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only takes like 8 hours maybe to beat 100% the game.
That's not bad.
It's easy.
Well, then overall $20 on it. What do you two think?
I give it a buy it. I do. Like I said, content warning and all that, but I do give it a buy it.
I give it a wait for it to be on sale, because that's, the, again, with like 8 hours, you will have beaten it numerous times, and I don't think it'll even take that long. I'm pretty sure I beat it in like 5 times, and I played through it 4 or 5 times, because I was screwing things up constantly. So I say wait for a sale.
All right. That's not one of our official ratings, but, you know, whatever.
Get fucked, Aki.
Yeah, but I always say that.
Well, here's the way to look at it, though, to stop and consider. Like, you pay $20 to go to the movie for 2 hours.
I haven't gone to the movies in...
Well, average people.
A long time.
Normal people. Not the hermits of the world.
But, I mean, if you were to go to a movie, it would be $20 for... Unless you go to a matinee.
They cost that much? That makes me... That hurts my feelings. Crap.
You know. So, I mean, considering... You're getting
we used to go to the dollar theater.
But, you know, considering you get 8 to 12 hours out of a game at $20 price point, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm good with it. But, all right, that is it for this episode. Just around an hour. We did pretty good on this one.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to...
We're done in time for pizza.
I am. Ashley is on her way home with pizza. So
Where's the pizza from?
Pizza Hut.
Oh, I haven't had Pizza Hut in so good.
Did you not listen to the story when I told it at the beginning of the show?
No, I wasn't here at the very beginning.
God damn it.
I came in like 15, 20 minutes late.
Well, I'm not repeating the story because there's pizza on the way. thank you, everyone, for hanging out, keeping us company, listening to the show. Music this episode, we're going to play the latest song from Wire Effect featuring our good friend Eric Peabody, Viking guitar on guitar on the song. Peabody. Eric Peabody is his name, indeed. So Viking guitar, thanks. Wire Effect, it's good stuff. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
Yes, we brought up Turn It On. That was the first game I ever streamed on here.